Standard talks about the disciples on the Emmaus Road and how they said that their heart burned within them when he opened to them the scriptures and told them what they meant. He interpreted them to them and their hearts burned. When Leonard started preaching that, I enjoyed it primarily because for the first time, I thought I understood why some people don't stay faithful in church. It's because after they're saved, they won't let God burn in their hearts when they hear the word. They won't do it. If God ever gets you to where your heart burns when you hear it, you'll stay with it, I would like to say, the rest of your life. There's no guarantee of that, but I guarantee you, I know that's what it means. And until you develop a love for His Word, I'm talking about the Bible, until you start developing a love for His Word, and you're anxious to hear it every time it's presented because you learn something new. That's why this is a teaching church. And that's why some of you, your hearts burn. You want to hear the Word. It means something to you. And it makes you understand some things. You want to understand more. And you'll never understand all there is to understand about Jesus Christ, but it sure is nice to let your heart burn and be thankful that it's God's Spirit that causes it to burn when you hear His Word. I know I use this scripture a lot. I use a lot of scriptures a lot. I could preach on others, but these are the keynote of worshiping God. He told the disciples, the first church, 11 of them, he said, "What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The problem in our churches today is they want to be entertained, and they love jokes, and they love stuff that excites their carnal nature. And if they've got a preacher that can tell jokes, and you know I can't, then they just revel in it. But God didn't call preachers to tell jokes. And I've come to realize that. So I'm giving up the practice. The truth of the matter is, they leave churches because they want to go somewhere where they feel more at ease. And if you go in a church where the pastor doesn't preach salvation by grace, the cure of the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper, as a close knowledge, the church is local and visible, and the universal church is a bunch of baloney. It's not a church at all, it's a family. And the ones in it, God help them, they're not going to hell if they trusted in Him. But the truth of the matter is, we've got a world out there that's leaving the true churches. And it's been a burden on my heart for a long time. And in the last couple of years, I've learned a lot of things. God's taught me a lot of things. God's taught Leonard a lot of things. God taught Kenneth a lot of things. And He's taught Chuck a lot of things. And that's what this church does. And the ministers of this church, I believe, hearts burn for understanding more and more of who Jesus is and loving Him more and more because they see how humble they should be before Him and how they should yield to His will without question. If the Word says it and He leads them and it's not unlawful, they should follow Him all the time. Of course, we know if we don't, He forgives us, picks us up, and away we go. But thank God you're in this church. I thank God I'm here. And if I wasn't the pastor, I'd thank God I'd hear. And you'd have to run me away from this church. Because this church teaches the truth. The saved will be judged for yoke performance. I do not believe the attack on Antichrist by the Islamic Antichrist will occur until after our President Obama leaves office. I could be wrong. It could occur before that. But I am not able to give you the day, week, month, or year it will occur after he leaves office in February of 2017. Now, but I will guarantee you, I will guarantee you it has finally reached the point. I know. I don't suspect. I don't think. I know it is drawing nigh. And I know that a lot of people are losing interest in serving God. I know a lot of people are saved, but they just don't see any sense in wasting their time and going to church. They go down there, they hear the same 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and hi-ho silver away over and over again. Their hearts don't burn for the Lord. And because they don't burn for the Lord, they lose interest in the Lord. And it's not the Lord's fault. It's the preacher's fault. And it's their fault. It's a joint sharing. And I wish to God more missionary Baptists would wake up and preach and start teaching people about who Jesus is and what he does and why he is so wonderful. He was wonderful to me the night I saved him, but he's a million times more wonderful now because I know him. And I've got a lot more to learn about him. Most people aren't interested in that. I hope before God that all of us here make an effort to get closer and closer to God every day of our lives. Post-Obama last war of the Gentiles, it's drawing nigh. I'm sure of that. I don't know exactly when, but it's after Obama, I think. But it could happen today. Wake up, church members. Alpha and Omega comes. The Alpha and the Omega is coming. You say, no, it's Jesus that comes to the rapture. Yeah, who do you think the Alpha and Omega is? Jesus Christ, the prophet, is the Alpha and Omega. He's the one Moses said would come. You know what else he is? He's our chief prophet. He's our perfect prophet. He never makes a mistake. He's our chief prophet. He's also our chief priest. He's also our one king. And our one God. That's who he is. Absolutely. And so, if you can't serve him, who in a Sam Hill can you serve? I tell you what. I'm trying to just surrender my life to him and do anything he wants me to and preach anything he wants me to. If he lays it on my heart and I know in my heart it's right. And if it's not right, I'll tell you, this is speculation. But here's what I do know. Obama, wake up, church members. Alpha and Omega comes. Jesus Christ the prophet is the Alpha and Omega. All the saved will go before his judgment seat. Jesus will come quickly as a blinking of the eye. Paul said it would be in the twinkling of an eye. And John said it will be quickly. Let me show you what both of them mean. The blinking of an eye. Isn't it odd that they both say that made it the same way? Isn't it odd that they both described it the same way? Do you think that's odd? I don't. I think it's inspired. And I think that the rapture is going to occur on the seventh trumpet. And I'm sure of it. You said, what are you going to do if Jesus comes at a different time? I'm just going to be very ashamed. And I'm going to have to pay for teaching that so fervently and with such great heart. Jesus will come quickly as a blinking of an eye. John wrote Revelation to Jesus' local churches. That book was written to local churches. And the bulk of it applies to local churches. But it was written for all mankind to consider. Do you know why they don't understand it? Because they don't want to consider it. And their heart doesn't burn after they get saved because they don't want to take the yoke on them. Churches have left their first love of His Word. You know what the first love is? It's Him. Who is He? The Alpha and Omega. What did John say He was? The Word. They've left the Word. That's the first love I ever had in association with Jesus. Man, did I love Him the night I got saved. I did. man, the Spirit was in me, and I felt tremendous relief, but it wasn't the feeling that saved me. It was the experience. And I believed His Word. And I asked Him to save me. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my 4 years of looking, trying to be saved, He saved me. And I had a great feeling of relief. And I went home that night and I thanked Him and thanked Him and thanked Him. I loved Him. I paideoed Him. But it wore off. Because I was too young to take the yoke in my own mind. And every time He'd bother me about something, I'd just kind of get the attitude of later gator. And I'll do that. And then something bad would happen and I'd have to have Him to bail me out or help me or get me well or get somebody else well in the family, somebody I loved. And I'd run back to Him and I'd say, "Lord, I'll do whatever You want." But I never did take the yoke on me. When I was baptized, that was the beginning of taking the yoke. I just gave in. And Imogene had a lot to do with that. Because she had something that I didn't have. She had the yoke. And I had been dealing from age 12 to age 23 that with being baptized and knowing I should, but I kept telling God, later gator, not in those words. I kept promising Him. He bailed me out of so many tight places and things in my life. I was just, man alive, I'm surprised He didn't kill me. But in any case, all of a sudden, the night I was baptized, I didn't feel as great a relief as I did when I was saved. But what a relief. I think Imogene would have married me without me being baptized. But I wasn't prepared to find out. And I got baptized. And my life changed. And we grew up together in the same yoke. Matthew 11, 28 to 29. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Good gravy. Y'all can preach this better than I can. You've heard it enough. You know there's a lot more in there than you think when you first read it, when you first see it, when you come across it. God has made His Word so the good stuff you learn after you learn the good stuff and the second stuff is gooder than the first, and then you learn some more and it's gooder than the gooder. And the more you learn, the more excited you get about it. And I wish that you would stir up your hearts toward God and say, "I want to know everything I can learn about You." And I hope if you'll carry that attitude with you, you'll learn that you're not lowly in heart. I learned it. I'm not meek and lowly in heart. I'm an unprofitable servant. And so are you. After I found out who God is, who Jesus is, man, I got no choice in this. How can I be anything else? "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." You have to find it. Lord, I've preached that so many times, I'm not going back into that. So I just want to point something out to you and why I believe that we will not have an attack on Israel by the Islamic Antichrist until after Obama leaves office, and he leaves on February 17th, Lord willing, 2014. He said, "Why doesn't Islam attack en masse the little devil Israel loved by the big devil America? Why should they not take advantage of a very liberal, weak American president? It's because they can do anything pretty much that they want to do. They do anything they want to do. Why on earth should they attack Israel right now? They're disorganized. Putin's up there, and he hadn't taken over as much territory as he's going to. And down in Israel, they've just eliminated the problem to the southwest for a while. It may last a long time. I think Israel's going to keep them boxed in down there, and I think Egypt is going to do the same because Egypt doesn't like them either. But what's the danger is north of there, the king of the north. That's the danger. And that's what this ISIS is. It's what the Antichrist is going to rise out of in Syria. This all takes time. It takes planning. The Antichrist is supposed to be very wise. And after all, he's supposed to be indwelt eventually by Satan. He's got enough sense not to attack Israel till he gets organized. And he comes after the 10 horns, it says so, after they're ready. He's the 11th horn. And there he is, the Antichrist, the Assyrian, the man of sin, the king of the north. He's got many names. There he is. The one I like best is the Wicked. That's the one I love. Because if you read what comes after the Wicked, you'll find out just exactly what the spirit of Antichrist is. And he has sealed over many Islamic hearts, especially those that are extremist, terrorist, with no heartfelt grief at killing another human being just because they don't believe what they believe. We're in for a rough ride. And I'm hoping that some churches will wake up and some preachers will wake up and they'll start saying, you know, I better get my life straight with God. This is a good church. It's a good church. I love this church. And I won't say we're good like God, but I will say that God's pleased with us. And I do say we're trying to learn more about Him. And I do say that He has all power in heaven and earth. So if He has all power in heaven and earth, now listen to this carefully. I'm going to quote, if I can, Luke, I'm going to quote the Great Commission, verses 18 through 18 through 20. Here we go. Maybe it's 19 through 20. Whatever it is, here it goes. He says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. I thought God had all power in heaven and earth. You reckon He's God? He is God. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now He's going to draw a conclusion. What did He say do? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. A conclusion. Therefore. Therefore go ye and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? That Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, and that He is God. And the reason we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is they all three are the fullness of God in that man, Christ Jesus, who is God. And what have we taught people? We have taught people they're three different people. We have taught them that we have degraded Jesus because we have not recognized His honor. Do you think that they stoned Jesus, tried to stone Jesus because He claimed to be the Messiah? Do you think that's why they stoned Him? That's why they wanted to stone Him? You think that's why they tried? It is not why they tried. When He claimed to be God, then they picked up stones to stone Him. They would not accept Him as the I Am God of Abraham in a burning bush that never burned out. That's what happened. You say, well, good grief, we've been teaching a lot of stuff for a long time. Why? Because preachers love to stay somewhere and get salary raises. And congregations love to hear something that doesn't affect what happens to them when they get to heaven. They group us in one big, large group. We all look alike. We all smell alike. We all glow alike. and we are all alike. That sounds like a WPA work during the Great Depression. Listen, I'm sorry if I get loud, but when I could, this stuff just festers up in you, doesn't it, Leonard? Doesn't it, Kenna? Doesn't it? It just festers up in you. And you say, what are these clowns doing? What are they doing to Jesus? He didn't say go out there and knock on every door. He didn't say go out there and bug people to death. Been there, done that. Listen, I almost got killed going out there doing that. Well, not killed, but I almost got beat up a couple of times doing that. And I said, this must be a better way than this. And so finally, I learned it here at this church. I came in here, and the first thing our deacon said, after they called me, he said, Brother Michael Murray, we need to get a visitation program going. I said, fine, what night you want to do it? On Thursday night. Wonderful. Guess who showed up? Thomas Michael Murray and Imogene No Middle Initial Vaughn. And I discovered that what they meant was, you and Imogene need to get out there and get on fire for the Lord. Well, there was another independent group, couple. They had scriptural baptism. I did a funeral for the man not too long ago. He was a wonderful fellow. He was from an independent church, but they believed in close communion. We took them right away and wasn't any problem. And man, they had been taught to get out there and get on fire. Well, Imogene told her, she says, well, I'll go with you. Because I was driving back and forth to the school, and I was preaching and teaching up here. There wasn't any other preacher but me. At one time, I was leading the music, and I just didn't have time to do it. But old poor old Imogene, she went out there with her Sue. You remember Sue, don't you? Her and Sue went to every house in this town twice. I didn't say some of them. They went to every one of them. You know how many people we got out of that? Zero. I don't blame you if you don't believe that. I really don't, because I'm not sure I believe it either. So finally, certain people left. Man alive, I felt like leaving myself. But I had a good friend. His name was Tud George. I loved him to death, and I loved his wife, Blanche. They were the backbone of this church. And Brother Tud came, he said, no, Brother Tom, he said, listen. He said, don't you leave. He said, our trouble's past us. He said, if you will just stay and preach the truth, he said, this church will grow. I said, Tud, by the leadership of God, I'll do the best I can. And I stayed, and this church started to grow. It didn't grow because of me. It grew because God had removed the problem, and here we were, and I was set free to preach whatever I wanted. And I learned. And I didn't give them 3 points in a cloud of dust anymore. I started giving them line by line, verse by verse. Eventually, I started passing these things out, but that was a long way down the line. You say, well, how in the world did that happen? The power of God. The power of God. Jesus Christ is God. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They're all in him. That's why we baptize in the name of all of them. But there's only one. Because he is Almighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Counselor. He is the Comforter. He is all those things Isaiah said. And he loves you personally. He loves you personally. He fulfilled the office of the Father. He fulfilled the office of the Son. He fulfilled the office of the Holy Ghost. And he is now fulfilling all three as one God. And he lives in you. And he lives in me. I'm so ashamed that I waited all those years. But he said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Learn to come to church for the right reason. And don't pick favorites. Learn to control yourself by His Spirit which lives in you, by immediately going to Him when He starts to bother you. And you'll find a church that's full of love, full of faith, full of hope, and full of love. It's my individual responsibility to do that myself. And it's your individual responsibility to do it also. I preach it, and I'm trying to practice it. He said, why doesn't Islam attack en masse the devil Israel loved by the big devil America? Why should they not take advantage of a very little weak president? Because they can do pretty much what they want. I would. I'm not that stupid. I wouldn't try to attack him now. I'd wait till if they were going to attack him, they would have done it when he went in after Hamas. Those are the most clever people you'll ever meet in your life. I lived among them. A second reason is that it will take the Antichrist time to get the wild Islamic asses. Those are Ismail's descendant. He's known as a wild ass. That's what the Bible calls him. That's a bunch of wild asses. I lived among them. They got so many sects now. In those sects, they've got all kind of terrorists. And ISIS is the worst of them all. The third reason is that I don't know. I got to put some corrections to this. The third reason is that I don't know when God is going to put it in the hearts to start the last war that finally ends at Armageddon. I don't know when He's going to put that in there. And you don't either. So there's lots of things we don't know. But He did say we could tell when it was drawing nigh. Deuteronomy 18:15-18. The Lord thy God will raise up thee a prophet, it's capitalized, from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Well, that's why this is a teaching church. People that don't hearken to him, they're making a very foolish thing. They're doing a very foolish thing. They don't hearken to him. They may preach it to others, they may teach it to others, but they don't hearken themselves. He says, of thy brethren, in the midst of thee. My goodness. Of thy brethren like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. I can understand why they felt that way. That mountain was on fire. And the trumpet sounded. And it scared the fire out of them. You know why a lot of people don't come to church now? Because the tribulation period scares the fire out of them. And they watch these people on television. And these people on television tell them, don't worry, don't worry. You're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation period begins. They don't say when the tribulation period begins. They say before the tribulation period begins. That is ungodly heresy. You say, oh boy, they're not going to like it when you say that in missionary Baptist churches. I've gotten to the point I do not care anymore. Because it says, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see the great fire anymore, that I die not. Well, you're going to get a dose of it, but I'm not worried about you. I pray for you every day, but I'm not worried about you. You drag over here on Wednesday night, you drag over here on Sunday night, you drag over here and drag over here, and I'm not worried about you. Because you're here because you like to hear the Word of God. You want to find out what He says He's going to do. What do you think love is? It's listening to your wife, for one thing. If you learn to listen to your wife, you'll discover she loves you a whole lot more. Let me not hear the voice of the Lord, my God. Neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. People are scared to death of being martyred in the tribulation period. Big deal. That'll be the best thing God ever did for you. And the Lord said, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. And he said, boy, you got it right. He said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Go over there, I think it's the 12th chapter of John. Look at the last series of verses, and you'll discover that's exactly what the Godhead did in Jesus Christ. And he even tells you who he's going to judge and who he isn't. Now, let's go Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Man, you know this backwards and forwards. You can read this for yourself. Just read Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Turn it over and read the part on the back. And it will tell you who Jesus Christ is. Now, I may go a little over tonight, but I'm going to go over if necessary. And I think I can whip the preachers in a fair fight. So I'm going to go ahead. It'd have to be fire. It'd have to be fair. So I'd get Cindy to referee it, because I know she wouldn't help Leonard. Now, I want you to notice this. He says, the increase of the zeal of the Lord will perform this. Now listen to this. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is Revelation 8:20. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Guess who said that? Jesus. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus, endurance of Jesus Christ. John endured. Those disciples endured. Judas didn't. Was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why was he there? For the word of God. The powers of darkness did not want him to preach the word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word of God is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. And people need to understand that. And people need to know what the Godhead in him. He is one God. And they need to pray and understand that their prayer is going up to one God, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, I've heard that taught a lot of different ways. They say that was on the Sunday. I don't believe that. I think what he's saying is, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he's referring to the Lord's Day. If someone really wanted to condense the book of Revelation down and call it a single thing, it is the day of the Lord or the Lord's Day. Now, if you want to believe that was the Jewish Sabbath, that's fine. If you want to believe it was Sunday, that's fine. But I'm telling you that I believe and preach and teach, knowing that I might be wrong, but I believe that is the whole book of Revelation. And I think that's it from start to finish. He said, and these are the things that he saw. He says, and in the... Let me go on back here. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, plural. He didn't just say the church, he used plural. The church is local and visible. It is not universal and invisible. If you want to tell me I believe that there's a universal church of all the saved, I won't argue with you. But I will tell you, I believe there's a family of God, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamos and to Thyatira, and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now let's take a look at him. Does this sound like your Sunday school picture with the little lamb? Well, I tell you what, that's what, when I got saved, that's who I thought saved me. I just didn't know much about who he was. Let me describe the Lord to you, Jesus. His head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes there as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know that is used for judgment. As if they burned in a furnace, and his face was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That sounds like Jesus coming back in chapter 19 of Revelation. It couldn't be Jesus with a sharp two-edged sword destroying the Antichrist. It's Almighty God. It's the Everlasting Father. It's the Prince of Peace. My goodness. It's the Comforter. It's the Counselor. You say, who's that? Jesus. Two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shining in its strength. Wait till you see him. He's going to have to resurrect you and me and whoever else is out there and give us such a glory that we can look upon his glory and we shall see him as he is. If I saw him right now, I'd be blinded as he is. But when he resurrects us, we will shine. I don't think anybody will shine as much as he does, but he will equip us to where we can see God shining. You want to know who God is? He's a shining light. You say, well, I just have a hard time accepting God as that. Well, good news. He can turn himself into anything he wants. God can turn himself into anything he wants to be. You say, well, man, that's really something. Yeah, the Alpha and Omega can do that. And the Son of David is the Alpha and Omega. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is John, and John wasn't spooked easy. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Guess why I'm going to live forevermore? Because he lives forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He's going to determine whether I go to hell or heaven, and he's already determined it on the cross of Calvary that we sang about before this exposition. He's going to determine, and it's already determined. It was determined before the foundation of the world. Because by his foreknowledge, he knew that I would receive him as Jesus the Savior. And I did. And then my heart didn't begin to really burn until I was 38 years old. But then God said, he didn't say it, but it was time. And my heart began to burn. God's been teaching me ever since. God's been teaching Leonard ever since his heart burned. He's been teaching Kenneth the same. He's been teaching Chuck the same. We owe it all to God. We have no power of our own, because the power is in his word. He says, write the thing. Now, I don't agree with what most missionary Baptist preachers on this next verse believe, so I might as well tell you before I read it. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. They have taught for years that John divides the book into three sections. In the first section, he's talking about the things that are. In the middle section, he's talking about the things which shall be hereafter. The things which he said that he's talking about the things which thou hast seen. That's in the first part of Revelation. That's the first part of it. Then all of a sudden, it talks about the things which are. And then it talks about the things which are right hand. and the seven golden candlesticks. That is not the correct teaching. The book of Revelation is full of things that are put in there in between. You don't have a uniform thing that starts from the very beginning and all of a sudden it goes over here and on the next page it turns over to the next part, and then after that part ends it takes over to the next part. That's not true. You have parenthetical chapters all the way through there. And the parenthetical chapters are not in that order. Why do you think he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? When I came up here and I started finding out the truth was, I became very unpopular with my other brethren. I'm sorry, I love my other brethren, but they just will not be anything other than seminary clones. And once they have mastered the documents, that's all they'll ever be. Well, I thank God for the seminaries, and I mean that. But after they get out, the seminary's motto is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. God, they didn't tell us not to study anymore. They didn't tell us everything they taught was perfect. And some of them are just too lazy to get in there and study spiritually for it because they know their church will run them off. But you all are so bitten by it, you'd be hard to run off. I sure don't want to run you off. He says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, the word angel, angelos, can be interpreted and is in a couple of places as messenger. So I'm just going to leave that up to you, what you decide. Because I'm just going to do that. And the seven golden candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand. Remember that the seven stars are. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's Jesus. And every time we assemble here, he walks in the midst of us. You say, how do you prove that? By faith. He says it. I believe it. He says, I know thy works. Now, this was not a lazy church. And a lot of missionary Baptist churches are not lazy churches. They get on fire for Jesus and bang the doors until their knuckles are blood red and they've irritated everybody in town. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Hippomene, they had patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and hast found them liars and hath borne and hath patience and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Well, that's quite a church. You want to know that fit? I'll tell you, that fits most of our missionary Baptist churches. And they have. And they've been saved. They've been scripturally baptized. And they observe the Lord's Supper correctly. And yet there is no joy in their heart. It doesn't burn inside them. Why? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know what our first love is in this church? It's the Word of God. That's our first love. The Word of God. You can hear it, you can read it. You say, well, why? Because our first love said, what and if ye shall see the Son ascend up before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit They are spirit and they are truth. Now, let's talk about that. What does John say that Jesus is? The Word. Isn't the Word Jesus? Wasn't God there when the earth was created? Wasn't the office of the Godhead already decided? Here's what our churches ought to do. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. Convert yourself. Get converted. How can you say you love Him if you don't want to get converted? Peter didn't get converted until after Jesus ascended. You don't get converted like God wants. You get converted if you want to use it for saved, but you don't get the conversion that Peter got until you let Him change your heart from mammon and pride and hatred. Change it to faith, hope, and love. And that's the main purpose the church is here for. Now he says, but that from where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. He'll come quickly. You say, well, you mean God may take somebody home early? Well, He has sometimes. It depends. But when He comes, He's not going to come. This didn't mean I'm coming right away. I'm going to come quickly. And I'm going to find a bunch of people that aren't serving me. And will remove thy candlestick out of its place. Some of our missionary Baptist churches have had their candlestick removed. I am not going to say which because I don't know which. But that is one thing that I do not want to see. Nor does anyone here want to see. When God removes His candlestick from this church and does not recognize us anymore. But there's some good news. Except thou repent. Turn back to your first love. Turn back to the one who saved you. Start learning who He is, how great He is, how wonderful, how marvelous He is. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I've kept you over, so I'm not going to talk about the Nicolaitans, whom I also hate. Now notice how he closed this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It pays to serve Jesus. That's where the inheritance is. And question is, how much of your inheritance do you think He's going to give you? Well, I guarantee you one thing. If you want all of it, start being faithful to Him in all that you do. When you sin, ask Him to forgive you. And for whatever you do, do not stop coming to church. And start listening and learning.